welcome, welcome to a special edition here of the Phoenix Suns podcast on Bright Side of the Sun. This is Chris Habas flying solo. Jim Kokenauer, a little bit busier than normal this week, wasn't able to jump on and do this, but we have a special edition of the podcast. This is another one of those special editions. We haven't let you down before, so hopefully you really enjoy this one. We had Channing Frye on first. We had Jared Dudley on during the All-Star break. Now we got one of the newest sons. I don't want to discredit Hamed Hadidi with being a new son, because he is. But we have one of your newest sons. Looks like a guy that's been here for a year and a half. We got Marcus Morris that's going to jump on and talk to us here in just a second. So I definitely wanted to, you know, appreciate him jumping on. I obviously appreciate giving us the time and jumping on here on their day off after two just grueling wins. I mean, back-to-back overtime games. First one was not as nice looking as the second one, obviously, if everyone that caught that Minnesota game wasn't exactly ideal basketball. James Naismith probably wouldn't have enjoyed watching that one. But, you know, to turn around less than 24 hours later, you know, flying into San Antonio and getting on the court probably 12 hours after they landed in San Antonio, tired as probably all get out. But to get on the court in San Antonio, snap their 18-game home winning streak, beat the best team in the NBA, you know, take them to overtime, battle them out in that overtime period. And basically, I don't want to say they dominated the overtime period, but from a Suns perspective, with the way they've been playing this year, that was a pretty dominant overtime period. So it was really nice to see back-to-back wins. Some people are not going to enjoy those back-to-back wins because they want as many lottery balls as possible. But, hey, two wins in the season to give the team some pride, some confidence, give something back to the fans, and they're still a bottom-five team, guys. You know, they're still tied for the fourth-worst record. So without further ado, I don't want to continue rambling on here. I want to bring on Marcus Morris here, and we're going to go ahead and talk about a little bit of Suns basketball, a little bit about Marcus and Markieff, and kind of let you guys get to know them a little bit here. So on the line now, we have Marcus Morris. Man, how you doing today, and how you feeling in Arizona so far?
I'm enjoying it, man. I'm happy.
That's good. Obviously, reunited with your brother. So it had gotten to the point where you guys played over 100 games in Kansas together. You guys played through high school together. What was it like that, like, year and a half where you guys are opponents? I know you guys talked a lot, you know.
It was different. Sorry for cutting you off. It was different, man. It definitely was hard at first, and just being able to adjust to not being as comfortable without somebody that you play basketball with for your entire life, man. I mean, definitely it was hard. So, I mean, it just had to be the fact that we had to grow up and grow apart from each other for a little while.
Absolutely. Now, I'm at all the games, so I kind of see the interactions of it. Is it on purpose, or is it just this is just the way it looks from an outsider looking in? But it looks like you guys aren't trying to make it a point to be next to each other all the time. So in warm-ups or coming out to the court, going back at halftime, you guys aren't necessarily like connected at the hip. Is that on purpose, or is that just how things usually work out before and after a game?
No, that's just how it is. I mean, we're definitely not connected at the hip. Like, we're best friends, but we don't have to do every single thing together, you know? Like, that's what I think a lot of people expect, that you just be walking together, talking to every time, you know what I mean? It's just like having your best friend around, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, we're still playing basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, one thing, I cover the NBA draft. I was out there when you guys both got drafted, so I was able to see that, which is pretty cool. Now, Markieff gets his name called first, and obviously, you know, the cameras go immediately over to you to get your reaction. They put the microphone in your face with you not having really any time to kind of react to it or let it sink in. One of the first things you said was, "It's going to be all right. I'll send him some flowers. I'll send him some fruit." Did that happen? Did you actually send him out some flowers or some fruit?
Oh, no, I didn't do that. But the lockout happened, so we still was together for a nice amount of time. So, by the time it was time for him to go to his team, we just spent a lot of time together, and it was a short season, so we really wasn't apart from each other for that long.
That's good. So you guys didn't send any care packages to Houston or to Phoenix and anything like that?
I was just saying that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they went right to you and just went to go get an immediate reaction. I thought that was one of the highlights of the draft. I know it was an emotional thing for you, and you were, you know, just kind of reacting to your brother getting drafted, but I mean, I thought that was gold, and that was pretty funny stuff there. Now, some other things that, I mean, to get guys a little bit of an insight on you and Markieff a little bit, has there ever been, I know you said everyone expects everything to happen with you guys together and whatnot, but have you ever had something on the basketball court happen to where, I don't know, high school, college, NBA, where maybe players lose track of you guys on the court and think you're one or the other, or maybe even coaches looking down at the bench?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that for sure happens all the time. I mean, I've been here, been the huddles and coach writing up the play and putting me where Keith at, or talking to me thinking I'm Keith, and we've been telling them that you'd be talking to the wrong person. But I mean, that's gonna happen a lot, you know. I mean, I'm used to it by now. So I mean, the best thing is that we're able to be on the same team, just play basketball. At the end of the day, I think a lot of people forget. That's our main focus, you know what I mean? Even though we're together and even though we love being together, our main focus is still being the best basketball players we can be. It's just making us more comfortable by being together.
Yeah, and I know you guys had talked about it before, like leading up to the draft. It'd be great if you guys got picked and you're able to play together. So you guys actually wanted to play together. There's actually been five other sets of twins, not as identical as you guys. I think you guys are about as identical as it gets, but five other sets of twins in the NBA, and they didn't really make a point to try and play together or really make a lot of comments to want to play together. I mean, what is it that made you guys want to come together versus maybe getting out there and doing your own thing like all the other sets?
We just think together we're a better force. You know, at the same time, a lot of twins play the same position, you know, and it's different for them to be on the court at the same time. For us, we play two different positions, and me being a small forward and a size power forward, I can be on the court with them at the same time. So, I mean, just having that connection and being able to play with somebody that you're going to play with your entire life and having that toughness that we have together would be a force.
Definitely. And so, I mean, from people that didn't really see you guys in college, how do you guys complement each other? Like, how do you make Keith better, and how does he make you better?
Just giving him the confidence on anything that he do on the court. As far as missing a couple shots here and there, I'm always on the side telling him, let's shoot the next shot. Or you got to get a rebound. Or you got to go harder. You're not going hard. You know, he knows that I'm only trying to help him. You know what I mean? As far as anybody else, you never know what their intentions are because, you know what I mean, you haven't been around us. But he knows that we only try to help each other and we know what each other can do. So, I mean, nobody's there when it's just us two putting in that extra work and we know what we can bring to the game. So whenever he's not bringing what I think he could bring, I let him know and he do the same for me.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, when you guys were on the court in Kansas, he was more the inside force, you were more the outside force, but he's developed a little bit of that outside game and that he's kind of turned himself into a jump shooting, you know, 4 or 5 man in the NBA. Do you still feel that you can be the 3, he could be the 4, or are you more of a 4 in the NBA just based on your experience so far?
No, I'm a 3, man. You get to watch any of the games?
No, I'm out there. Like I said, man.
No. I'm playing. It's a joke. But, man, I'm a 3, man. Just drafted in Houston. Houston didn't have big plans for me. And I feel like they didn't know what I could do. You know what I mean? And now I'm in a situation where I can really get a chance to really show everybody what I can do, put on the floor. There's no 4s in the league shooting pull-up 3s, and there have yet to be a 4 in the league that shoot a pull-up 3 or come off ball screen. I have yet to see that. As far, so I mean, if that's even a question or anything like that, I mean, it is what it is, and I don't want to be labeled as just a 3 anyway. So I take it as a compliment, as a 4, 3, 3, 4, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was gonna say is when you're more versatile, you're a better player. When you can play the 3 and you can switch over and play the 4.
I'm just a basketball player. You know what I mean? I'm just the thing about it that makes me visible to people to fan for it because I don't back down. You know what I mean? It's not that if you want to play me at the 4 and I'm playing against a bigger body, I'm going to do it regardless because I want to play basketball. You know, I know a lot of people in this league that won't take that challenge just because they want to stick to one position. I want to be on the basketball court. So rather than be at the 3 or the 4, and I'm on the court, I'm going to play it regardless.
Exactly. Yeah. And does that kind of come from your guys' childhood coming up? And you guys are Philly boys, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's tough basketball there. People talk about Chicago and New York and D.C., and, yeah, granted, those are all tough, you know, places, and they got a lot of kids coming up playing hoops, but Philly's all about tough basketball and tough-minded basketball. How did growing up in Philly make you a good or even a better basketball player?
It just made me humble, you know what I mean? I mean, keep it real, too humble guy, you know what I mean? Just worked every day and grinded out every day to get where we at, you know what I mean? And we're not going to stop until we keep getting better and Philly, I mean, everybody knows Philly has a reputation of being tough. I mean, so it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, and I know I've heard Keith a few times. I think he's a Cowboys guy, right? He grew up, he's a big Cowboys fan.
Yeah, Cowboys.
How do you grow up in Philly watching them in the same division as your own Philadelphia team? Are you a Philly guy, or do you root for other teams?
Yeah,
like
I'm a Philly. I'm a Philly guy. But believe it or not, there's a lot of Cowboys fans in Philly, a whole lot. more than what a lot of people think.
Yeah, that's crazy because Philly's such a just emotionally attached city that they love their teams. It's crazy that you can grow up loving the team that was beating you in the 90s and the team that you guys rival against twice a year.
Right, no doubt.
All right, man. So in terms of like the fans getting to know you a little bit, because you know hopefully you're out here for a while with Keith and you guys can build up that symmetry like the Van Arsdale guys did, you know, back in when the Suns were first coming up in the 70s and the 80s. But a couple of fun things about you. So, like, what are some things you like to do off the basketball court?
I like to relax. You know what I mean? I'm real laid back, just like he said, play the video game, maybe go to the movies here and there. Just relax.
Are you guys going to be starring? You're more relaxed. Are you going to be starring in some of those JMZ videos, or is that not really for you?
Say that one more time.
Oh, I was going to say, Jared Dudley likes to get out there and be crazy with his videos, and he's a big movie guy as well. Is that kind of you or no?
No, that's not me. That's not me at all.
All right, man. Well, like I said, I appreciate you jumping on and talking to us for a little bit, and obviously good luck the rest of the way with the Suns. I mean, two surprising wins. I mean, I don't think a lot of people expected you guys to go out there and win against San Antonio especially, but getting the wins against Minnesota and San Antonio back-to-back was definitely nice to see. So continue building on that, and we look forward to watching you throughout the season.
Appreciate it, man. I'm having a lot of fun here in Phoenix, man. I'm happy that trade went down, and I feel like I'm home now. So, and hopefully I'm here for a while, and hopefully we'll be changing to winning ways.
All right, man. Well, considering that, welcome home, and I'll look forward to catching up with you guys at Atlanta tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
So, again, big thanks to Marcus Morris jumping on, talking to us here over at Bright Side of the Sun, SB Nation. Newest son, making kind of an impact. I mean, he's out there doing his thing. He's playing well. Like he said, he's a 3 and a 4. He can do a lot of different things, but, you know, definitely appreciate the time him coming on and kind of introducing himself to the Valley, talking a little bit about that twin stuff that everyone's going to talk about. I know to those guys, it's probably just, please stop asking me these questions, but it's the stuff that everyone wants to know about, stuff that everybody's talking about. So big thanks out to him for jumping on and talking to us here. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because he's come on. He's played pretty well, I think, in his first couple of games here with the Phoenix Suns. I think he's doing a really good job in terms of kind of meshing with the team. And, you know, when he first came, at least Lindsey Hunter was saying that he wanted him to get a few more practices or, you know, get himself assimilated to the team. But he came on in garbage time, put up 7 points in his debut. Very next game, put up 7 points, you know, back-to-back losses when he first started out here. But now back-to-back wins and playing well, coming off of the bench. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, is him coming over to the team going to help Markieff in terms of getting his confidence and maybe playing a little bit more inside, because that's how they balance each other out. They're both more perimeter oriented players now that they've played in the NBA for a little while, so it'll be interesting. And crazy things have happened. I mean, those guys were watching Kansas play on Saturday to turn around and find out they're traded a couple of days later, you know, sitting courtside watching the Kansas Jayhawks get a win. And with the way the Suns are trending right now, if they end up staying where they're at with a top five, potentially a top three pick, this could be a team that you never know. I mean, there could be another Kansas Jayhawk on this team in terms of Ben McLemore, because that's a big need for the Suns as well, is getting that situational scoring and a guy that can shoot the ball from the two position. So it'll be real interesting to see if all of a sudden next season we're talking about having, you know, 2, 3, 4 Kansas Jayhawks on this team and kind of leading the Suns. We joke about the Phoenix Suns, you know, bringing over retread players from Houston and having 3 or 4 of those guys this year. Might end up having 3 or 4 Kansas Jayhawks. Granted, they didn't get the chance to play with Ben over in Kansas, but, you know, he's playing a phenomenal freshman year after sitting out last year. So, again, big thanks out to Marcus. You know, he's playing well. I think that him and Markieff could play very well together off of the bench. In college, they averaged about 30 and 15 in terms of points and rebounds as a unit, as a tandem. And for 2 years, they went to the NCAA tournament. They played very well in the NCAA tournament, got upset, which happens to good teams, against a hot, you know, smaller level team, and then also made a run another year. So, you know, two good players, two brothers. Like you said, they're best friends. They don't do everything together. Hopefully they're able to balance each other out and really bring out the best in each other, which is, I think, what the Suns are looking to do. Like the Suns president of basketball operations, Lon Babbie, said, he feels that they can bring a synergy to the team. And, you know, if they're able to do that, then that'll end up being some good news for the Suns, because that's two young, very talented players that haven't reached their peak yet off of the bench for this team as they're rebuilding, resurging, and trying to become a better club. I mean, 20 and 39 at this point, playing Atlanta tonight. So we'll see what happens. If they're able to continue to collect these young assets, with Goran Dragic, with the Morris boys. P.J. Tucker is not young, but he's not old. Same thing with Jared Dudley. Same thing with Marcin Gortat. They're putting together at least something. There's a vision that you're starting to see with the Phoenix Suns now that they're collecting these younger players. But I think it's still going to be a process. I mean, it's not going to be an overnight thing. Adding Marcus Morris doesn't make this team a playoff team, but adding Marcus Morris does give them a little bit more potential, a little bit more oomph, and it'll be nice to see what those two look like coming out of a training camp together and, you know, maybe being considered either the 4 and the 5 off the bench next year or the 3 and the 4 off of the bench next year. So things are trending upwards this year, obviously going to be in the lottery, but it'll get real interesting, I think, starting next season if they're able to collect the right lottery picks, you know, picks being plural if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, you know, 2 lottery picks, having their lottery guys from the past 2 years, having Houston's lottery guy from last year and Marcus, and, you know, Goran Dragic leading the show. You know, it's obviously not the most ideal season. It's one of the worst seasons the Suns have had record-wise in a really long time, but the young players are starting to show up. Kendall Marshall's playing better. Marcus, Markieff, all these guys are starting to actually get on the court and play some pretty decent basketball, and hopefully they all you can ask is for them to just build off of it and just continue to get better. Progression is the name of the game, and hopefully the Suns continue this progression with these young players getting better. Well, that's your special edition of the Bright Side of the Sun podcast here on Bright Side of the Sun, so go ahead and check us out. Actually, next week, make sure next week on Wednesday, you absolutely need to listen, but make sure next week you tune in, you listen to the podcast, because we are going to have a very special promotion that we're going to throw out there at the very end of the podcast. So make sure you listen attentively. We're going to talk about this next week. It's extremely big, and I think a lot of Suns fans out there do not want to miss this podcast. So tell a friend next Wednesday, mark it on your calendar, listen to the podcast from beginning to end. We're going to have a really exciting, really good promotion given out to the Suns fans. Until then, good luck in Atlanta tonight. Suns are off for 5 days afterwards. So Suns fans, enjoy the game tonight, and we will hook up with you guys next week. Thanks for listening.